So we're looking at Parshas Toldos, and
what did it told us?
So one of the central ideas, as you know, of Parshas Toldos is Esav and the relationship between Esav and Yaakov. Of course, Yaakov is described as an Ish Tam Yoshev Oholim. Esav is out there in the fields, in the hunting grounds, Ish Tzayin. And the Torah says, "Vayav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid b'fiv." And you may remember the Rashi at the very beginning of Toldos. What does it mean, tzayid b'fiv? Could have said just that ish vayhi Esav ish yodea tzayid. What's tzayid b'fiv? What I mean, yodea tzayid. That would be enough. So Rashi said tzayid b'fiv. The emphasis on his mouth here. And there are many answers to this question, why the Torah emphasizes Esav's mouth, but Rashi says, Latsud ularamos is of b'fiv. Okay? Now, Rabosai, the reason I gave you these pages is because my goal is that if you enjoy this, if you appreciate the insights of the Sukkachov and the Shemi Shmuel in Chumash, you may want to buy the book. Again, I don't get a commission for that, but to learn it. What we're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg. On Toldos alone, he has 50 pages. We're hardly even scratching the surface.
How does he come up with?
Well, you'll see that he has a wealth of knowledge and literature that he quotes from. He quotes sources that you and I never even looked at in our lives. You know, forget about Midrashim and Tanchumis, but he's got Zohars and he's got who knows what. Plus, he has a lot of Torah from his father, who's the Avnei Nezer. So Pirush Rashi, Lotzu de l'Rama Sobe Fivisholo Abba. This is what Esav tried to pull the wool over his father. Heich ma'asrim es ha-melach v'satevim. How do you tithe salt and straw? Kosovar aviv shumidadik b'mitzvahs. And Yitzhak began to, you know, was impressed. Wow, this guy is really into the mitzvahs. He wants to know how to be mafrish.
No.
Ulahavin. I would like to understand. Lovelo shalo dikduke mitzvahs acheris. There are a number of complex mitzvahs that he could have asked about. Kigon shchita v'chadome. You know, the laws of shchita are very complicated. Are you looking inside, Yoshua? No, and I'll tell you why. Because again, if my goal here, I can tell you this whole thing over Baal Peh in about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm deliberately not doing that because I want to give you a sense of the text. A lot of Hasidish Sfarim are beyond at least my capacity. The only Sefer, and again, I'm not going to tell you I understand every word of the Shem Yishvul, he gets very Kabbalistic at times, but 90% of the Sefer is understandable. So if I have a Sefer, you offer me a Sefer that I understand about 10%, I'm not going to even bother with it. I don't have the time and the energy. But if I can understand 90% of it, it entices me to want to open the Sefer on a regular basis. So that's why I want you to see it inside. He says, why didn't he ask him about Shechita, V'chadoma, Sheyesh Bem Dikduke Mitzvos? They're very complex. V'lovelo Bochar, B'davar, B'dvar Dikdu Kazeh, Shusheker. The love alone, and why did he, meaning Esav, choose Livchar Bidavar Bidvar Digdu Kazeh Shu Sheker? He implies already a possible answer here, although at this point it strengthens his question. Had Esav asked about Shechita, would be a valid question. This question about Tevin and Melach and Maestris is really Sheker because. You know, what do you mean, heich ma'asrin? There is no din of ma'isa. You don't have heich ma'asrin. How do I do the taif when there is no mitzvah of ma'isa? Ma'isa is the five species of grains, possibly other fruits. I mean, zeisav anovim is doraisa, and the other fruits maybe ramam shit is doraisa. But what kind of business is this? Tevin and by the way, this whole concept of Esav asking this question, it has to be seen within the broader framework of the fact that the Avos were Makayim, the Torah even before it was given. That's going to be the subject of my discussion tonight. Imritz Hashem and the Ramban. That was a kind of a plug for the Ramban Shia tonight. But V'nira Dehine Kol Seder Abriya. If you look at the universe itself, he says, the created world, Hayabimatkonet, that's a word that's used even in modern Hebrew. And by the way, our limud today should be a schus for Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. My wife, I don't know if at the end she decided to go to a wedding in Bnei Brak or not, because a missile fell on Rishon LeZion already, which is very close to Tel Aviv. So we really need a Yeshua from Hashem. So he says, Matkonet, the structure of the entire universe, is one of Tafel V'Ikar. Does anybody know what those two words mean? Tafel V'Ikar?
Primary
and secondary. Excellent. Sha'olam Haba, for example, the universe that God created has two worlds. There's a world to come that's called the Ikar. And the Olam Hazeh, which is our physical, is called the Tafel. It's secondary. Kamo Sha'omru Chazal, a Mishnah Novos. Hatkein Atzmucha Baprozdar. Prepare yourself in the vestibule, Kadesh Tikonis Latraklin, so that you could go into the main hall. Excellent. Into the main hall.
What's the vestibule exactly?
I mean into a
corridor.
Let's see how
corridor.
A corridor. Okay, good. The corridor. So you can go into the great hall. Fine. Excellent. V'chein, let's look at the days of the week. This connects to our previous discussion. V'chein, sheishes yimei ha-maseh, tfeilim l'shabbos. And now he quotes the Tana Dvei Eliyahu. Again, these are sources that we don't usually combat, that say that yomim yotzro v'lo echad mehem ze shabbos. That Shabbos is considered the echad. It's the one, meaning it's the unique and it's the singular day. So many days were created, but for all these days, there's only really one. The one is the Shabbos. Shabbos is, in a sense, the hub of the wheel, and it connects all the days together. V'chein b'peiros, this is a famous sugya in Brachos. Yesh klipa, there's the outside peel that covers the fruit. Shehi shomer l'pri, that's clearly the tafel. And then you have the pri itself, that's underneath, that's the edible part. Ukibishas, like in the Gemara Brachos, Lamed Vav, Es Pirio, Es Atafel Imperio. That has to do with Arla, that is in the Isur Arla, even on the Klipa, even though it's secondary. Okay, so fine. So that's the nature of the universe. Now he applies this to man, to the world of man. V'chol Adam, Im Oses HaPu'ula Shenivra L'mano. If a man implements the activities, the actions that he was created for them, through Konesh Lemus, then he acquires perfection by doing God's will. V'yimat tafel, hu tafel be'emes li'ikar, harei be'emtzu uso nase gamat tafel shorin. He says, v'yim means, and even though the secondary is really truly secondary to the primary, nevertheless, through the primary, the secondary becomes part of the perfection. Now, why does the Ikar add a new dimension and upgrade the significance of the Tafel? Because without the Tafel, you can't get to the Ikar. Meaning, if you don't go through the corridor, you won't enter into the hall. If you don't have the Shomer Apri...
Why not? Why can't you just have the Ikar?
Because what is the whole function of a Tafel? In the entire universe, the Tafel leads you to the Ikar. It facilitates. You can't get to the Ikar. I'll give you an example. On Yudalad B'Nisan, what carbon do we bring?
Carbon
Pesach, right? But a month earlier, we take care of the Paraduma, right? Why do we need the Paraduma? Because, if you're Tame, you can't bring the Carbon Pesach. So the Paraduma may be secondary to the Carbon Pesach. Karpes is an Iser Kares and Nichrusu Ole Brisos, blah blah blah. But nevertheless, you need the Paraduma to get to the Ikar. But don't you see clearly that it's the Ikar that gives significance and stature to the Tafel? This is going to be the point where Esav makes his mistake. He says the following. He says, Harei be'emtzu uso, meaning through the means of the Ikar, Nasa got my Tafel showing. The Tafel becomes perfect.
The Tafel becomes perfect?
Part of the perfection, right? The perfection is now made up of two elements, right? The Emtza'i and the Tachlit, the means and the ultimate goal. But without that means, you won't get to the goal. So the means itself becomes part of the Shlemut. And if this world is secondary to the next world, but if you use the challenges of this world, of this physical life, to improve yourself, Prozdor, we said before, on the right side of the page. I don't know why you waited until now. Prozdor is the corridor, we said, right? We had a long discussion about the Prozdor last year in the Sefer Rabas, remember? Where the Dam comes down. Okay, fine. Nis'ala gam olam hazeh u'miskadesh. So as a result of his working on himself in this world, in the secondary world, he uplifts himself even as far as the olam hazeh is, even... I'm sorry. Since he will achieve olam haba through the haskein atzva beprozdar, therefore even this world becomes uplifted. Even though it's a secondary world, it takes on a new meaning, a new stature. It's sanctified. Therefore, olam haba meir gam ba'olam hazeh. Therefore, the light, the illumination of the next world is felt, is impacted on this world too. V'yikuyam, and then it fulfills the pasuk olamecha tira b'chayecha. You will see the next world in this world during your lifetime. V'chein sheshmei amasim hem tfeilim, even though, remember we said that the word im means even though they are secondary to Shabbos, b'emes harei b'em tzu'us Shabbos, if he observes the Shabbos properly, gam sheshmei amasim mitkinim u'misalim. Which word did I lose you on?
The concept.
Oh, the concept is that if you observe the Shabbos carefully and properly, then it drags with it the rest of the week, and they are tikkun. That's a word in Chassidus you have to get used to. Metaknim filoshen tikkun. Tikkun means they become spiritually uplifted and perfected. Umisalim, and they ascend to higher levels of sanctity.
The days,
each day, right, and all the activities of those days. If you eat every day of the week in honor of the Shabbos, the Shabbos itself gives a certain light to the Sheshimei Amasa. So what's the significance of the, let's say, the peel of an orange, right? It's a very thick peel in many cases. I'm talking about juice orange. So it gets chashivas because it protects the orange itself. They came in Kabbalah's Tumah. That's why the din of Kabbalah's Tumah, which only applies to Ochlin, will be extended to include the Shomer Lepri. Shah Shomer Mevi Umachnis Es HaTumah Lepri. Kibishas Chulun. V'yesh Lomar Shezeh Atzmo Hayinyan Brias Yaakov V'yesov. In this framework, with this introduction, we should appreciate the relationship between Yaakov and Esav. So what we're going to see here is that in the divine scheme of things, Esav is not out. He's not totally zero. He's going to be like the Shomer Lepri.
Wow.
The Esav yet tofel Yaakov, but v'al yidei Yaakov yasi gam Esav shlemus. So if you could say that Esav represents perhaps the physical world, Yaakov the spiritual, eternal world, nevertheless, that spiritual world of Yaakov gives the world of Esav its perfection. Again, not perfection in the ultimate objective sense, but perfection relative to what it has to be accomplished. You know, every person is judged by his or her job, right? Women are exempt from certain mitzvahs, but what they do is they fulfill those mitzvahs that they're obligated in. So I'm not a Kohen, I can't fulfill the mitzvahs of a Kohen, but I get the shlemus of what I'm capable of doing as Yisrael. So then he has a Torah here, which I don't know if we have time for now. I just want to, but basically I'll tell you over his Mahalach here in the next couple of lines. He speaks about Esav's Kibud Av. And according to certain Midrashim, Esav and his offspring, his descendants throughout the generations, were rewarded for this Midah of Kibud Av. That since Esav was Mekayim the Kibud Av, that's a genuine Kiyum, and it gave the descendants of Esav a very strong power throughout the generations, and we as Jews suffered from that power. So you see that Esav definitely has a great measure of potential.
If the Jewish people are supposed to be the Iker and Esav is supposed to be the Tafel, so to speak, how come the Jewish people ever became... how come the Jewish people ruled the world at one point? And, well, hopefully again. We're never supposed to have this world, then how come we ever did?
Well, I think in the ultimate divine plan or scheme of things, the Jewish people will control the world in a spiritual sense. Now, sometimes physically, unless they're empowered to reign supreme and be sovereign rulers, they can't control the world even in a spiritual sense. But in order to bring, you know, mankind to the point in which all men will acknowledge the one God, so to facilitate that, very often, you know, the Jewish people have to be in total freedom and maybe even in control, so they can punish the evildoers and institute whatever they have to for the sake of the good of the service of God. Oh, so what was Esav's problem? Esav zdon libo he seal v'lo rotzel lios tofel Yaakov. Basically, what he's saying is that Esav's evil nature prevented him from willingly accepting his task. The osa atzma ikar, his sense of self, his desire to be number one, to be primary, drove him to the point in which he believed kilu bishvili nivra olam, the world is for me. I'm not tuffle to Yaakov. No way, no how. And the Sukkotcham Rebbe now quotes a medrash in Parshas Vayishlach that indicates that Esav's declaration was bishvili nizra asada, which is going to be the claim of all the nations of the world throughout the generations, anu ikar, ubishvilenu nivra olam. Let's go to the next paragraph. Ubazei shlomar. In this context, we can understand hatam shirotzi Yitzchak Avinu levarach es Esav. The main kasha in this parasha of Toldos is what was Yitzchak thinking? Why was he interested in giving, bestowing the blessing on Esav? Afsha yodea. She Yaakov Yosef Tzadik Me Esav. There are many proofs that even in Yitzchak's mind, Yaakov is the greater Tzadik. Ach Kavanoso, but rather now we understand that his intent, Yitzchak's intent, Hoysa Lahoyer Es Einov Al Yedei Brachos Vakdusha She Yachnispo. Basically, Yitzchak wanted to have an impact on the heart of Esav. He needed it because he had to be encouraged.
Why couldn't he give two brachos?
Well, that's going to come up soon. I don't know if we'll get to that today, but according to the Sukkotchava, he quotes his father, the original bracha of Eretz Yisrael was meant to be given to Yaakov, was never meant to be given to Esav.
So why did...
But I don't want to get off on a tangent, because that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother schmooze. Iynyu.org, you know, yutorah.org. There's a whole hour's lecture there by someone that you and I know.
I just found out that.
Yeah, you should look on there. I have a piece on that very question that you just raised. That's why I don't want to use the time now. He says, "Ulam lo yada." What was Yitzchak's error? What was he unaware of? Migasus haruach shel Esav, of the conceit of Esav. The Sukkotchava quotes a Zohar to prove that when a person is diseased with conceit, there's really no...
Can you define conceit?
How do you say trufa in English? There's no cure for that. I mean, there's a cure for everything, but the most difficult malady, you know, spiritual malady to cure... Is conceit.
What is conceit again?
Is haughtiness. And now he quotes his father, who says, Higid shezoi klipas gasus haruach, that what that Zohar is referring to when it says that it's very almost impossible to save a person, he's referring to gasus haruach. Shem ba bo ma'at kedusha al yedezim izgoyal yoser. Once a person is so full of himself, if you give him spirituality, if you give him sanctity, that'll only further blow up his ego.
Why?
Because now he thinks that he's a tzaddik. In addition to all the other things he thinks he is, he thinks he's the handsome guy. He thinks he's the best, the best gift to the world. Oh. Now he also has, religious possessions to boast about. I don't mean possessions, I mean qualities. He says, "Lefize Yuvan, let's understand. How did Esav raise this question about misering straw? Demahuso hoisa medaveres mitok grono. That the essence of Esav is reflected in his speech, in the formulation of this question. The shame shechoshav atzmo leikar, just as he thought himself to be primary." This all reflects itself in his question about tithing straw. Straw is something that's secondary. It's not a primary thing. It's not food. It doesn't sustain anyone. But yet, let's include it into maser. And even though, again, Esau is not willing to define himself as teven, but it's mahuso medaberes mitok grono. There's something from within him that is speaking. And he himself is teven. But nevertheless, he wants to be mafresh maser from teven because he wants to upgrade teven to an equal level to that of the fruits and the grains that are chayv in maser. Tiubas olam heim hamotz mina teven. Because in truth, the nations of the world are those klipos, those secondary things.
They all want to be the...
But they want to be the main thing. Shehichshev es atzmo le'ikar im kein tzarech hamotz maaser. U'lefi zeh yesholma gakin atam v'melach she'eno tzarech maaser keiman she'eno ikar rak tofel la'ochel. Right, when you put salt on something, you wouldn't say that's the main thing that you're eating, but it's tofel. So both teven, in terms of its motes, you remember we spoke about motes the back enough test, and melach, which is added to a food, so both are prime examples of a tofel. But Esav wants to elevate the tofel and make him equal. He wants to mar the distinction.
How do you say that in the statement?
He said, let's be mafresh maser min ateven and min melach. Mizei yotze limud l'chol ish. And the Sukkot Shavuot ends this presentation with a musa shmus for all of us. Every person has to know a person should never consider himself the greatest because he thinks his actions are so significant. His significance is only because he's attached to something else, to someone who's pure or to purity, because he's serving the nation of Israel. That chibur, that connection, is what gives him stature. When the people around him, the members of Klal Yisrael, do good actions, that's what has an impact on him. But independently, if he was working like Robinson Crusoe on his own, he would not be chashuv. Okay, he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh. Now I want to show you a different piece. Take a look on page Reish Samach Zion, which is on the left side. Can you give me just a minute, Yoshua, because we're really running short on time, and I want to hop around one more piece.
Yeah.
So on the bottom right, it says, Vayar Esav Kiroos. I forgot to bring a chumash, which is a shame, but okay. But anyway, Esav becomes aware of the fact that open it up if you don't mind, that the Bnos Shnan, right, are disgusting in his eyes. Right, gracious chavches posuk ches.
Is that right?
No, in Yitzchok's eyes. I'm sorry. I'm trying to chop so much in one. Fighting against the clock here that I'm not even thinking. So Esav realizes that the daughters of Canaan are wicked in the eyes of Yitzchok, his father. So what does he do? Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Esav goes to Yishmael and he takes a wife. Okay, her name was Machlas Bas Yishmael. And the pasuk goes out of its way to tell us that Yishmael is the son of Yitzchak. Can you read that loud? Son of Avram.
Which pasuk?
Chaf. Are you in Perek Chaf Ches?
Yeah.
So it's either pasuk Ches or pasuk Tes. A drop louder. Ki ra'ot banot kenan b'nei
Yitzchak
Aviv.
Okay.
Nevayot.
Yeah. Nevayot al nashav
al nashav, in addition to his wives. Interesting, he doesn't divorce his wives, even though the pasuk says the reason he's marrying Machlas Bas Yishmael is because the Bnos Knan are wicked in the eyes of his father Yitzchak. That seems to motivate him to get married, but not to divorce his wife. Just to add another one. The Torah goes out of its way to say that he added another one by going to Yishmael.
His wives are not, are Bnos Knan right now?
Again, his wives were Benot Knan. Now he's marrying a granddaughter of Avram Avinu, who's not Benot Knan, the daughter of Ishmael. But it not only doesn't it say that he divorced his brother, the Torah went out of its way to say that he did not divorce his wives. Vinira. And we see from this, She'esav birisho hu mitchiloso ve'ad sofa. Even when he seems to be doing something that's good, he's also evil. From beginning to end. And this again reflects what we saw earlier in the Sukkot, that Esau represents, oh, I'm great, right? He's full of himself, he's pumped up, he's conceited. I have no problem, I have no chisaron. And he thought that everything he did was perfectly upright. He was peaceful with himself because he thought everything was great. He would never point an accusing finger inwardly towards himself. Kakam b'sofo, even later on in his life, even though now he realized that something changed, because Yaakov now is blessed by his father Yitzchak with Heyei Gvir Lachecha, that you will rule supreme over your brother, so Esav now lost his Bechora. So you would think at this point, wait a minute, couldn't that be a wake-up call? He realized that his fate has changed suddenly. Just a few minutes before Yaakov got the brachas, Esau was convinced that the whole world belongs to him. Now he sees that something's changed, so he got shooken up a little bit. So what does he do? He goes to marry another woman. That's his solution to the problem.
At least it was Avram, at least it wasn't from Canaan.
Otherwise, where?
Okay, let's see the development. Right? So again, if you just wait another minute, you'll see what the critique here is against Esav. You want to defend Esav.
Yeah.
But let's see the critique. Let's appreciate it. The Medrash Rabbah, the Esav, Achiv Ba Mitzedo Mizuyan Latzud Nafsha. Esav comes back from the hunting grounds, and the Medrash says that he's Mizuyan, he's well equipped with the weapons, Latzud Nafsha, to hunt his nefesh. It doesn't say who's nefesh. V'nira, says the Sukkot Shavah, Shapirush, Nafsho Shel Yaakov. Again, this is even before he knows that Yaakov took the brachos. And he's coming back, Latzud is Nafsho Shel Yaakov. V'chashav Sheishar Levado, Baruch Mibanim Yoresh Es Kol Olam. Esav already was planning to wipe out Yaakov, and he would be the sole inheritor of his father Yitzchak, and he would be blessed amongst the children because he's the only one left. So the Sukkot Shavah uses that medrash to further emphasize the rishus of Esav, his ill intentions. Pisom nefachol of a galgal. Here he was waiting to snub out Yaakov and take over the whole kit and caboodle, everything. He would be the only child to inherit his father Yitzchak. And now he sees just the opposite. Everything is topsy-turvy. V'nasa eved liYaakov. The bracha of Yitzchak established that he, Esav, is now the servant. He's subservient to Yaakov. Oh, now comes the critique. You ready for this? On the oneness. V'hoyelo lasim el libo. Anyone in this situation, if he had a half a brain in his head and a half a heart in his heart and his body, he would have paid attention. Don't you realize you're no good murderer? You're about to kill your brother? Can't you get the message here that Hashem is sending you? All of a sudden you become a slave. Why? You're no longer the top of the world? Because you are a Rasha. Now's the time to fix yourself up. You know, we need a message in life sometimes to wake us. Uru Yishenim Mishnaskam, a shofar blowing. What greater shofar blowing could there be than the fact that the whole mazel of Esav is now turned upside down? But he couldn't do so. Esav couldn't look inwardly and blame himself. Aval zadon libo kimeoz, but the evilness of his heart, as always, Kain Ata is now the same. Nothing changed. Lo hirgish shum chisar mevasav. He's perfect. I am perfect. I'm the greatest.
Yeah,
right, Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. You know, you can't even suggest that I have to do tshuva and perfect and rectify myself. Vitola hakol. So why is his mazel going upside down? He's got to find some rational explanation. He's not a total ignorant, you know, idiot. Ah, it's always good to blame your wives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody blames their wife. Everybody, by the way. It started with Adam HaRishon, but it's in our genetics. We blame the wife. She's at fault, right? And here he had more than one wife. So he had plenty of women to blame. Masher Hemim Dinos Kanan. And by the way, what's the problem in Esau's life with his wives? Because of their hereditary DNA structure. That's all. Nothing to do with morality or ethics. It's just they happen to be offspring, descendants of Canaan. And therefore, his children who come through Canaan now on the mother's side could not possibly receive the bracha, because you remember that Yaakov, that at the time of the Maisa with Noach, right, the Pasuk says that that the offspring of Canaan would be cursed. Do you remember that klala to Canaan? To Cham? So therefore, you know, I'm in a no-win situation. I don't have any children who aren't from the descendants from Canaan. And if how can I even hope for the bracha? Okay, lokach mi benos Yishmael. Kidei shiye zaro miyuchas. They are clean, pure heritage. V'yoz ha'idayin yachzar kol elav, he thinks that everything has become back to him as it was and it was originally meant to be. Ulai, perhaps, choshev shebevada Yaakov yitzkal kel chasbeis lovan, he knew that Yaakov now is running away from him, he's going to base lovan there, he'll become a mekulkal. V'yitzkai chasshon v'posuk v'hoi kasher torin, when you go down, 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 and then you lose the bracha. Or v'pshitus, or maybe he'll succeed in his original plan, she'argus Yaakov. U'behepkech yachzar kol elav. V'tein, and I'll prove this to you. Shlo girish es nashu rishonos. If he was doing tshuva here and realizing that Yitzchak, his father, couldn't tolerate the Benos Kanan and their evil doing, then he should have divorced his wives. The Torah goes out of his way to emphasize that he did not divorce his wives. Elvada is no question. Choshav lios kimo b'dor amabel shahoysol em isha l'piriyavir v'vad. At the time of Mabel, men used to take women just to procreate, not really as wives. And therefore he went to Yishmael and said, give me your daughter so I can procreate. That was his really intention. To get children from, you know, the offspring of Avram that are pure. Like they have the right Aryan, the Aryans, right? But when he looked at his own actions, which were despicable, and the actions of his wives, which totally turned Yitzchak Avinu off, he says, oh, everything's fine, everything's hunky-dory, everyone's doing the good thing. The only chisorn he found, the only thing he could isolate, is that they don't have the proper yichus. They're not pedigrees. They can't receive the bracha. See the difference, my friends, between Esav on one end of the spectrum and Yaakov on the opposite end. Polar extreme, shayatamid v'yenei atzma v'chines ekev. Ekev means the heel. K'mosh kosev, and now he quotes his father, Pirish Tavir Gemara, Koril Yaakov, li'Yisrael Yaakov ena over b'yese, b'shem dehadre k'ra, the Torah, even after Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, still calls, refers to Yisrael as Yaakov. What's the meat of Yaakov, ekev? Even if though he's now on a great level, he's Yisrael, Sarisim Elokim. Nishar Od B'chinas Ekev, he sees himself as Ekev. He's humble. He realizes he has a lot to go. There's still so much more to achieve, so many levels to rise. V'zeu limud gadol yisir. Yitzhak Shem always takes it to us as a musavar. He says we should all take this to heart. Kol ish imroi delo solik bein ahurad in shmosa al yisala v'dvarim stod. If he sees something's not going well and his heart's desires are not fulfilled, don't say, oh, ein lo parnasa, ein lo menucha, his bark will vavo lemar shein bo hashama. Right now there's nobody coming to buy my things. I'm tired with this and that. You know, he gives all sorts of excuses. Al pidar chatev, he doesn't realize face the truth. Al yishev v'divrei shav, shezem ma'is esav, he's following in the footsteps of esav if he does such a thing. Yak, what should he do? Yitlach yisarn bo bi'atzmo, realize that this is a punishment for his sins. And therefore he should start with hirhurei tshuva. And I think the last line got cut off on your page, am I right? He quotes a Zohar at the end about being mahar b'tshuva. A person has to be, he has to do kriya, he has to close himself off with and introspect with hirhurei tshuva. Mosif omets with Torah mitzvahs k'minas Yaakov, and he should add and intensify his Torah study and his mitzvahs, and that's the midah of Yaakov.
Well, so then why after whenever he got married to the woman he still didn't get the bracha, why didn't he change then?
That's a good question. Again, you're asking, let's go step by step and see at what point did Esav finally realize that marrying Machlis and keeping his first wives was not sufficient.
Yeah.
You know, did he finally wake up and then smell the tea? But right now, when he marries Machlis, he doesn't get the message. And why not? So he's too full of himself. He thinks he's perfect. I'm God's gift to the world. Esav means Miloshon Asui. He thinks he's already complete.
Asui means complete.
Asui means you have everything. You're fully done. Yaakov Avinu is the Akev. You know, he's the heel that has to go higher and higher. He's always climbing, always moving, always trying to improve. That's the greatness of Yaakov. I have here. All right, I don't want to keep you. This is a book by Rabbi Tzvi Belavsky, published by Targum Press. That's Shem Yishmuel. He says the following. He says, there's a great message in this for all of us. We must take to heart the difference between Yaakov's existence and that of Esav. Esav's inherent downfall was his refusal to appreciate that when life doesn't work out for a person, one should examine his own lifestyle and make improvements. Tikkunim. Yaakov, our role model, realized that this ability to scrutinize one's actions and change accordingly is the key to a valuable Jewish life. Yitzhak Hashem will continue. I wanted to show you something after Mincha.
I just wanted to tie together the two ideas that we saw in the Sukkot Shavuah and see how they really intersect, they overlap. The first idea that we saw was in contrast to Esav.
Yaakov is the Tofel. Yaakov is the Ikar, excuse me, and Esav is the Tofel. But Dafka Yaakov sheds the light, illuminates Esav and uplifts Esav, gives Esav a purpose in life and a sanctity. He's the Emtza'ut, as we saw before, to reach levels of Shlemus, of Kedusha, of Avodas Hashem. So that's an important message that we have. We have to connect, as we saw in the Sukkot Shavuah, to Klal Yisrael, to try to contribute, to try to be elevated through Klal Yisrael. We have to see ourselves as Tofel. And that really directly connects to the second piece that we saw in the Sukkot Shavuah. Again, the contrast between Yaakov and Esav, in which Esav sees himself as complete. He thinks that there's nothing wrong with him. He can't do any wrong. He's on a high level and all his maisim are good. Even when he seems to be doing tshuva, it's still not real genuine tshuva. He holds on to his wives and doesn't give up on them. And that's Esav. We have to be like Yaakov. We have to be, even when we reach Dargus of Yisrael, Kisarisa, nevertheless we should be humble and we should feel like Yaakov, Ekev, Miloshen Ekev. And again, the idea of connecting to the greater whole and making a contribution in that way.
So let's combine again these two ideas of the Sukkot Shavuot. On the one hand, Yaakov is the active in spiritual matters. He's the Ovid Hashem. He's dedicated to serve Hashem. He follows in the footsteps of his father Yitzchak. And he's the Ikar. Esav could play a very important role as a Tofel. We need it, all of nature, all of the universe, operates in that framework with this Ikar and this Tofel. Like we said in the Gemara Brachos, there's Tofel of Pri, there's the Klipa, the peel that covers the Pri and protects it. That has a very important Cheshivas. It's Makabel Tumah like Oakland. And what elevates its status? Because it plays that role as a Tofel. That's our job. We have to link up with the Tzibur. We have to link up with Tzaddikim. We have to serve in every single capacity, even though we have to understand that what gives us the Kedusha is not because we're great. Esav is the one who thinks he's great. He's not willing to play the role as a Tofel. He's got to be the Ikar. So this sense of Gavus HaLev and Gassus HaRuah that the Sukkot Shavuot emphasizes is something that unfortunately we're all a little bit guilty of. We all think Bishvili Nivrola. And that leads us directly to the second Yisod of the Sukkot Shavuot, which he says that the difference between Yaakov and Esav expresses itself specifically in the fact that Yitzchak, no matter what he does, he's never able to get Esav to really do tshuva. Esav never gets the message. He's always convinced that he's perfect. Even if Yitzchak will tell him, "I can't tolerate your daughters with Ros Kanana Rose," he's going to marry Mibnos Yishmael, but he'll still remain married to the Bnos Kanan. So that's where Esav can't do any evil. And we have to learn the midah of humbleness, of humility, of Anova, of Yaakov, and Akev, that he always understands that he has to grow higher and higher. It's Hashem, next time I want to share with you the insights of the Sukkot Shavuot, the Parshas Vayetze, in which he takes this a step further, this concept of all the Avnei Amakom coming into one, that we all have to see ourselves as Tofel in the sense that we're parts of a greater whole, and to the extent to which we contribute to that whole, then we have a stature, we have that contribution to the universe.